continuing with the 33rd Psalm. And at the verse, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." When you hear this, you should understand that it's not Father John Wiper that's teaching you the fear of the Lord. This is the prophet David himself. And in fact, the Holy Spirit is speaking through the prophet David. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, "Come ye, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." It says, "What man is there that desireth life, who loveth to see good days?" So he's saying this is the benefit that you'll receive if you come and you hear, if you learn the fear of the Lord. And so when the question is asked, "What man is there that desireth life and would love to see good days?" I would imagine that if we asked for a show of hand, every hand would go up, because we all want life. And we all want to see good days. There's none of us that wants to be miserable. There's none of us that wants to die. And, of course, there's life that we have in this life, and then there's life hereafter. And so he's not just talking about life in this life. He's talking about everlasting life. He talks about good days. God may grant us good days in this life, but ultimately there's even better days ahead. But even in the midst of the worst days during this life, we can see good days in the sense that God will shine through those, even the darkest days, and we can be at peace. So we can never have a really bad day if, in fact, we learn the fear of the Lord and we hearken unto Him. What's the first thing that it says after that? It says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking God." I preached a sermon on the Epistle of James sometimes back where he talks at great length about taming the tongue. And how far down the road to salvation will we all be if we learn to control our tongue? Because the tongue is the gateway to just about every sin that we have. Either we talk ourselves into some sin, or else we speak evil of other people, or we gossip. But we, with our tongue, find our way into all sorts of sin. And if we would learn to keep a watch over our mouth, as the psalmist says, and guard what we say, we would be a long way down the road to salvation. "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." It's not complicated. Turn from evil, do good. Stop doing what you know you shouldn't do. Start doing what you know you should do. St. Paul says in the Epistle to Romans, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hate the evil. Cling to the good, embrace the good, do the good." The prophet Micah says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of thee." He said that in response to me. We're saying, "Oh, it's so complicated. How are we supposed to know what we're supposed to do?" "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you, of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." It's not really complicated. It's just a question of whether we want to do it or not. Well, if we really love God, we really want to see good days, if we want to have life, then we need to decide that that's what we're going to do, because we love God more than we love sin. If you love God, if you truly love God, you're going to hate the things that He hates, and you're going to love the things that He loves. You're going to hate to do things that you know alienate from you from Him, and you're going to embrace those things that draw you closer to Him. And it's important that these two things go together, because it's not sufficient to do just one or the other. There are people in the culture who think, "Well, I do all kinds of good things, so surely I'll go to heaven. It doesn't matter that maybe I also do some bad things, or I don't really live a life for God. I live for myself quite a bit of the time, but I do a lot of good things, so surely that ought to count for something." And on the other hand, you have people who think that they just simply avoid doing bad things that they should go to heaven, but they don't actively seek to do good things. But the Christian life is doing both. It's turning away from evil and doing good. It can't be one or the other. And it says, "Seek peace and pursue it." St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Peace is not the natural state of things in this fallen world. You have to seek it. You even have to pursue it. It requires a great deal of effort. Adding to animosity, or heat, turning up the heat in a relationship with other people or in an argument or in a disagreement is easy. As a matter of fact, you could even say that it's lazy. It's just giving in to your passions and letting it all hang out and saying whatever you want and not caring about anyone else's feelings. But the Christian seeks peace. He puts forth the effort to be at peace with all men, and he pursues it. He goes out of his way to be at peace with all men. So do you desire life? And do you want to see good days? It's not very complicated. Keep your tongue from evil. Set a watch before your mouth. Stop doing what you know is evil. Start doing what you know is good. Seek peace, and as much as you have any control over it, pursue peace. In this life, we're never going to find perfect peace, but if we don't earnestly seek to be at peace, as much as it's within our power with all men in this life, we will not find peace in the next. Amen.